I was recently reading in the book of Daniel, and I was struck by a story found there. And I wanted to see if it has any meaning or application for us today. So if you will, please turn to Daniel 5 and verse 25 for the start. Kind of breaking into a story here, but Daniel 5 and verse 25, it says, "And this is the inscription that was written." This was written upon a wall. "Mene, mene, tekel, upharsin." And this is the interpretation of each word. "Mene, God has numbered your kingdom and finished it. Tekel, you have been weighed in the balances and found wanting. And upharsin, or perez, your kingdom has been divided and given to the Medes and the Persians." And in verse 30, "And that very night, Belshazzar, king of the Chaldeans, was slain." Adam Clark's commentary on the Bible states that it should be observed that each word stands for a short sentence. Mene signifies numeration, tekel, weighing, and perez, division. John Gill's exposition on the entire Bible also states that these words may be literally rendered as, he hath numbered, that is, God has certainly perfectly and exactly numbered, he hath weighed, God hath weighed thee, Belshazzar, and divided thy kingdom, that is, the Medes and the Persians, as it appears. So we're going to look at each word and see how it kind of fits into our Christian lives. We'll start with Mene. And we know from previous scriptures that God numbers the days of men. Genesis 6 and verse 3 says, "My spirit shall not strive with man forever, for he is indeed flesh, yet his days shall be numbered 120 years." Now, people used to live great spans of time, 700-800 years, but you can see that God has limited our years. Job 14 and verse 5 says, "Since his days are determined, the number of his months is with you. You have appointed his limits so that he cannot pass." So we see from the story here in Daniel that God had numbered the days of this king, Belshazzar. And he did wrong in the sight of God, and he was found wanting. But what exactly was he found wanting in? If you read verses 18 to 23, it says, "O king, the Most High God gave Nebuchadnezzar, your father, a kingdom and majesty, glory, and honor. And because of the majesty that he gave him, all peoples, nations, and languages trembled and feared before him. Whomever he wished, he executed, and whomever he wished, he kept alive. Whomever he wished, he set up, and whomever he wished, he put down. But when his spirit was lifted up, and his spirit was hardened in pride, he was deposed from his kingly throne and took his glory from him. And then he was driven from the sons of men. His heart was made like the beasts, and his dwelling was with wild donkeys. They fed him with grass like oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till he knew that the Most High God rules in the kingdom of men and appoints over it whom he chooses." Verse 22. "But you, his son, Belshazzar, have not humbled your heart, although you knew all of this. And you have lifted yourself up against the Lord of heaven. They have brought the vessels of his house before you, and you and your lords and your wives and your concubines have drunk wine from them. And you have praised the gods of silver and gold, bronze and iron, wood and stone, which do not see or hear or know. And the God who holds your breath in his hands owns all your ways, and you have not glorified." So God tested him. He let him live his life. And though he saw what happened to his grandfather, he didn't learn the lessons that were expected of him, and so he died. Now Psalms 90 and verse 12 tells us, "So teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom." And when we come to realize that our days are only for a time and that none of us truly knows how long we shall live, then how much more incumbent is it upon us to gain true godly wisdom? 1 Samuel 2 and verse 3 says, "Talk no more so very proudly. Let no arrogance come from your mouth. For the Lord is the God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed." Now, Belshazzar was killed because he lacked godly wisdom, even though he had seen it. Now, he treated the things of God lightly, the vessels that were God had consecrated as sacred. And he lifted up his own heart. We don't have forever, and our days are numbered. If you turn to Acts 17, verse 26. Acts 17 and verse 26 and 27. "And he hath made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on the face of the earth, and has determined the preappointed times of the boundaries of their dwellings, so that they should seek the Lord in hope that he might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us." Verse 30. "Truly these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent, because he has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. He has given assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead." God is not far from each of us if we are seeking him diligently. Now, the appointed day is rapidly approaching, and hopefully we will be numbered as those who will make it. Second word, tikkel. Proverbs 16 and verse 2 says, "All of a man's ways seem innocent to him, but motives are weighed by the Lord." Now, the scripture helps to show us from what standpoint we need to be evaluating ourselves. That is, from the standpoint of God's ways. In Job 31, verses 4 through 6, we see that Job believed that he was pure in heart, and that if God weighed him, that God would see his integrity. But he was blinded by himself. Here he is trying to blame God for the things that he is going through. But he was looking at this situation wrongly. He was trying to evaluate himself by looking at his own righteousness. But we see Paul's admonition in 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 31 and 32, which says, "For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world." So we have to be willing to self-examine at all times, to try and see where we are according to God's word. We know that we are being weighed today. Or another way to say this is that we are being judged now. 1 Peter 4 and verse 17. Says, "For the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. And if it begins with us first, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God? Now, if the righteous one is scarcely saved, where will the ungodly and the sinner appear? Therefore, let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to him who is doing good as to a faithful creator." Now, this is no easy task, but how important it is to even suffer for the will of God. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 9 and 10. "Therefore we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad." Now, we will have to give account for ourselves. And this should be a motivating thought, one that helps us to do the right things. Galatians 6 and verse 7. Galatians 6 and verse 7 says, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that will he reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life." So how do we stack up to what God expects of us? And do we make a conscious effort to look? Or do we go about as if nothing is wrong and that there is nothing that we need to change, like Job did? And finally, the third word, upharsin, or perez, which means division. And when I thought about division in the Bible, I thought about a lot of things. My first thoughts were of the three servants who had received the talents and were expected to go and use those talents wisely till the master returned. And the wicked servant, the one who did nothing, was divided from his fellow workers and was cast out. Matthew 25:14-30. We also have the parable of the wheat and the thorns, where they were growing together until the harvest, and then they were separated, divided from each other. Matthew 13:24-30. And I also thought about the sheep and the goats, and how they were divided into two lots. Matthew 25:31-46. Now these divisions happen because there are two different types of people being described in each of these parables. Now, those who have numbered their days, who have been given true knowledge, who have weighed what is right and wrong according to God's word, and who have decided to divide themselves to be different from this world. Now, it is our duty as called out Christians to obey and serve God as He sees fit. John 17 and verse 15. John 17:15 says, Christ here praying to the Father, "I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. And you have sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world." And once we make the decision to become baptized, we are no longer wanting to anything to do with this world and its sinful ways, or at least we shouldn't. Now this is a decision that we have weighed and carefully considered. And now hopefully we have divided ourselves from the world just as Christ is praying here. You know, our whole purpose should be for serving God. Romans 12 and verse 1 and 2. Romans 12 and verse 1 says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God." So we can see that these ancient words still hold meaning for us today, if we apply them properly. You turn to 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15, a scripture that was used in this week's update. If you haven't seen it, well, I suggest reading the update a little bit more. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15 says, "Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Now, I believe this scripture sums up the three words that we've been talking about today very well. We have to be studying the truth so that we may show God that we have gone through and have judged ourselves, not ashamed of our works, being able to rightly divide truth from error.